Minded. BBC News.
This is BBC Radio 4. Now, the classic serial, and a story set in 1955 in London, where the Second World War, although 10 years past, still lingers.
The Hireling by L.P. Hartley. Dramatised for radio by Judith Adams. With Simon Day as Stephen Ledbetter and Lisa Dillon as Lady Franklin.
We are entering the high-ceiling drawing room of a quiet, expensive house just off Belgrave Square. The room contains nothing but objects declaring wealth, except the afternoon shadow drawing its slow eclipse across the Persian carpet and the recumbent figure of a woman who lies blanketed on a fine chaise.
My lady? Lady Franklin? Are you asleep, my lady?
Simmons, come in. No, not sleeping. I must have... I think I just lost myself for a moment. Is it time to draw the curtains?
If you wish it, my lady, though it is a little earlier than usual. I'm afraid there is a visitor, my lady, or I should not have disturbed you. Should I tell them...
I have a visitor? Oh, dear. Who is it?
A Miss Copthorne, my lady.
Really? Miss Copthorne?
She has been informed that you generally receive in the earlier part of the afternoon, and that you are...
Miss Copthorne.
An American lady.
Constance. Really.
My lady?
Just for a moment, then. But be a dear and remember to rescue Miss Simmons, would you? If she stays longer than 20 minutes?
Of course, my lady. I shall mention the need for brevity, too.
I married a wife, oh then, oh then. I married a wife, oh then.
Not so far as the crow flies, but a world away from Belgrave Square, hidden in the least fashionable corner of Camberwell, ex-Sergeant Ledbetter of Ledbetter's Motors, private chauffeur hire to the gentry, smartens himself up in the tiny bathroom of a furnished bedsit with private garage space. This is as close as he can rent to his desired clientele. Standing at his mirror, he shaves his already razor-sharp, pale and glacially handsome face. He lives alone with this reflection, and although he doesn't care for it, it fills him with complacency. Of the women who have cared for it in the past, he recalls only she with whom he lived longest, mainly to replay and admire his own repartee.
It's a funny face, yours.
Funny, is it?
Like a moon face from the side. Like the old moon in the new moon's arms. There. Oh, why do you always have to go out, eh? Stay.
No.
Oh, go on, Steve. Just a quick cuddle, eh?
Get away with you. You're trying to get me to cut my own throat.
Oh, go on for me.
Leave off, Chips, or I'll turn up dripping blood on Lord Muck's doorstep.
Don't call me Chips.
Well, get rid of all those chips on your shoulder, then. Men must work, women must weep. Get used to it, Clarice, or hop it.
Cut yourself with your own tongue, you will, one of these times. You and your precious mirror and your posh punters.
I wish I was single again, again. I wish I was single again.
And so they sparred until, sobbing, she gave up, packed, took a photograph out of its frame, and left him alone with his reflection, his car, and his sacred at all hours as a summons from God telephone.
Blast! Hopewell 4126, Ledbetter's Motors. Good afternoon.
Miss Copthorne, my lady.
Miss Copthorne is fetched, cautioned and ushered in for her audience with the grieving and fabulously rich young widow of Belgrave Square.
Do come in and sit down, Miss Copthorne.
Thank you.
Thank you, Simmons.
My lady.
So, Constance, isn't it? What can
you
I...
You can't remember me, surely.
Indeed I do. You were at that last party I attended before...
Before you lost your husband. I'm so very sorry about that.
Thank you.
That was 2 years ago. A long time, Lady Franklin, so Thank you for remembering me. And to tell the truth, that's why I'm here.
Oh?
I'm here on a mission, Lady Franklin, on behalf of all your friends. Your close friends daren't come themselves, in case you never forgive them. But it was all my idea. As your man tells me I must be brief, I must also be blunt.
Oh, dear.
Your friends are very concerned. They hardly dare visit anymore. They miss you terribly. And, of course, gossip about that.
I'm the subject of gossip.
Most of the gossip revolves around Lady Franklin's newly immeasurable income and her equally delightful habit of childlike generosity to her more impecunious friends, which is sadly missed.
They look at the situation this way and that when your name comes up, but they never do anything. And to make it as brief as I can, you must stop all this.
All this?
This eternal mourning. Look, everyone says how much fun you were 2 years ago. Everyone knows how kind you were and generous and keen to go out and dance and...
Oh, yes, I was keen to go out and dance. Philip liked to be here, of course, at home.
I think Lord Franklin was a little older and not in good health. They were all fond of your husband, of course, but they think 2 years is enough mourning. We are concerned, you see, for your good health. I think you're even younger than I am, which means you're not 30 yet. It's time to start again.
Start what again, exactly?
Living! I was talking with a kind of doctor friend of mine visiting from Pittsburgh, and he says you sound depressed to him and need taking out of yourself. He has a technique with patients who are...
In mourning.
Depressed. But yes, for a reason. He calls it his ancient mariner experiment. You buttonhole someone, anyone but a friend, someone as unlike you as possible, someone who will always be a stranger, someone you never have in your own circle, and pour it all out, whatever's on your mind, every tiny detail. Make him listen to every word, then see how he takes it.
He?
I think a man's best for this, don't you? They hate us talking anyway. If he thinks you're a fool, so much the better. If he calls you a fool, better still.
Really?
Oh, but then there's a second part to the experiment. You have to ask him all about his life. And listen, really listen to every tiny detail. And try to make it real to yourself. Real and solid. A whole life functioning right outside your dream. It could be just the shock you need to escape yourself. Do you know what I mean? I know we're all driven from inside by desires and wants and greed these days, aren't we? Since the war. No time to lose, everything to grab. But I think what we can do for each other to keep the wheels oiled, if we're going to be so selfish, is at the very least...
Feel guilty.
No! Feel happy. All this misery drives me wild. To be perfectly frank, it suggests an uneasy conscience. Why should the dead care if we're unhappy? Why should anyone? Not that your friends say that, you understand, about you. It just popped into my head. I should go.
I'll ring for Simmons. Thank you for calling, Miss Copthorne. I will think about what you've said.
Best not think. Just do. What about your butler or your chauffeur?
I don't have a chauffeur. Yes?
My lady?
A hired car, then. You need to get out of here. A driver can't wander off, and if he's being paid well, he won't want to.
Simmons, please show Miss Copthorne out.
Goodbye, Lady Franklin.
Do you hire drivers?
Not if I'm paying. I take the bus. A bus is so much more entertaining.
Hopewell 4126, Leadbitters Motors. Good afternoon.
Lady Franklin's butler speaking. Her ladyship wishes to know if you can take her ladyship to Canterbury, to the cathedral, on Thursday, February 10th. Her ladyship will be starting at 10:30 in the morning and will be returning in the late afternoon. 39 South Halkin Street.
Let me see.
He knows he's free that day. But it doesn't do not to keep the upper hand with servants.
Yes, I could fit that in.
You won't be late, will you? You hired drivers usually are. You take on too many jobs. Don't be late, will you?
Not on your life.
And you would never lie if I could get at you.
Neither late nor early, since he refuses to sacrifice a minute he isn't paid for, Leadbitter draws up at Lady Franklin's door on the day appointed. They keep him waiting, of course. Their sort always do. He's been out working most of the night and already done a job that morning. Opening his window for some air, he props his chin on the rim of the steering wheel and falls instantly asleep.
Come out of the water, Stevie. Not in Mammy's shoes. Oh, really? Listen to them shooting. So much fuss over a pair of shoes. What's the matter with you anyway? Are you dead?
Is he dead?
More likely drunk, my lady.
Not at this time of day. He's asleep, poor fellow. What can we do?
Well, wake him up, my lady.
Oh, it seems so unkind.
Not a very good beginning, is it? He might drop off while he's driving. Let me call someone else. Come back inside, my lady.
Give him a little shake, gently.
What the... Take you... Oh, Lord.
Sorry, my lady, I just lost myself for a moment.
How wonderful. I knew it was a shame to wake you. I'd rather sit in front with you, if that's allowed.
Whatever you say, my lady.
Yeah, but my lady, it simply isn't a good idea to sit in the front of a hired car. Anything could happen. I don't think... Well, I'll be damned.
For quite some time, Lady Franklin feels too shy to speak. The world, streaming past eyes so long used to dim and motionless rooms, occupies her torpid mind. Odd, thinks Leadbitter, for a woman cheeky enough to sit up front. Finally, she wakes from her trance around sitting board.
This is comfy. What sort is it?
It's a Wolsey, my lady. It's quite an old model, but she behaves.
Oh, yes. We had one of those, and very good it was too. It's laid up in the country now. I don't drive. They think it's better not. Do you enjoy it?
It's a job, my lady.
You're a very good driver.
It's a question of getting used to it. I drove an ambulance in France for a while. I like to think if there was a tumbler filled with water in the boat, it wouldn't spill.
It wouldn't. My husband loved driving. He had a weak heart, and it was something he was still able to enjoy.
That's nice, my lady.
Rather a bore for our chauffeur.
I expect you got used to it, my lady.
Not really. We had to let him go. You seem to think one can get used to anything, but I don't know. It's 2 years since Philip... my husband... died, and they say I should be used to it by now. But I'm not.
It's nobody else's business how he wants to feel, my lady. That's what I think.
Impressed by this, Lady Franklin looks shyly sideways at his handsome profile. Like the moon, she thinks, with its shadow on one side.
What's your name?
Leadbitter, my lady.
Well, Leadbitter. The thing that haunts me is... I wasn't with him when he died.
Longing to put the wireless on and be spared this strange woman's shy and fluttering confessions, he just stops himself from saying, I expect he got used to it.
That was bad luck, my lady.
Yes, in a way. But I knew he had a bad heart. And I was told recently that I must have a bad conscience to still be grieving. It made me feel very angry, because of course it's true. I'm afraid. I was at a party. He was quite alone when... Has anyone you were fond of ever died suddenly?
I was a soldier, my lady.
Oh, of course you were. I'm so sorry. It must have been... I can't explain why this has frozen me so. The tune of our lives was being sung and listened to, I suppose, and... Now it's all silent, suddenly. And I wasn't there to say... Oh, I'm so sorry. This must all seem very foolish to you.
Would you like the wireless on, my lady?
No, I don't think so. Thank you. Do you think the dead can hear us?
Let's hope not.
Oh, you're right, of course. What do the dead care? But, oh, it's the undelivered message that torments me. A kind word. A word of love and comfort. Is there anything that matters more than telling someone you love that they're loved?
If you mean you should always tell people what you think of them, I admit it does give satisfaction when you can, m'lady.
If there's ever anything that you want to tell anyone, tell them. Don't wait until it's too late, or it may spoil your life, as it has mine.
Very good, m'lady. Here we are, Canterbury Cathedral.
Philip was very fond of visiting cathedrals, and I could never quite enter into his enthusiasm. So I had this idea to come on a pilgrimage to Canterbury to try and understand him better. No, please, I can open my own door.
No trouble, my lady.
Thank you. Would you like to come and see inside?
No, thank you, my lady. I've seen it all before. I'll wait in the car.
Oh, but you must get lunch. I may be a while. And put it on the bill, of course.
And Leadbitter, who doesn't often get enough lunch to fill a hollow tooth, as he puts it, locks the car and walks off, moody and strangely irritable, for a coffee. On the way, he passes a pub, and though he never drinks spirits in the middle of the day, goes in, drinks a double scotch, and torments a Dutch barman with his unappeased demon. Sitting in the nave, Lady Franklin is being stung by her own demons. While she tries her best at personal prayer, they chatter in her head and distract her from her mission.
You know, there was a fire here, old girl, in 1174.
Philip.
The entire eastern end was destroyed.
Philip, dearest, can you hear me?
Listen. The quarter chimes are struck on the eighth Gregorian tone.
I'm sorry, darling. Truly I am. And I did love you, you know.
That's the same tone as my old college chimes, Merton.
I'm taking a sort of talking cure. You'd laugh at me. I'm talking about how I feel. To my driver. It's supposed to help.
Then there was the great earthquake in, when was it? 1382? Three?
He's quite handsome. But his smile is rather alarming. It reminds me of that rhyme about the lady and the tiger.
If he thinks you're a fool, so much the better.
He does think I'm a fool, though he can't say so. And now, I have to try the second part of the experiment. Oh dear.
Did it work, my lady?
What?
The pilgrimage.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
I'm sorry, my lady. Still, it's not over yet.
What?
Life. Another pilgrimage, maybe. I suppose they weren't meant to be easy.
That's a very nice St. Christopher on your mirror. Do you believe in it?
Well, not in saints, no. I haven't met one yet. And I believe we make our own luck. But I am attached to my medallion.
Why, if you're not Catholic?
Well, it keeps me company.
A giant carrying a child. I wonder what his story is. Do you know?
I never gave it a thought.
Perhaps your wife gave you the St. Christopher. Oh, are you married?
He pauses. What does she want to hear? Yes or no? Which state would get him more work, more money, or at least a bigger tip today? Single or married? Most women would rather think he wasn't married. But he suspects by now that Lady Franklin might not be most women.
Yes, I'm married.
You don't sound very sure.
Yes, well and truly married. And three children, too.
I'm not, of course, married. Not now. So strange. But I want to talk about you. What is she like, your wife?
The only inspiration Leadbitter has is sitting beside him.
Well, she's a little like you, my lady, if I may say so.
Ooh, I hope not.
Why not? She could have been like a lot worse people.
Thank you. But are there many people as unhappy as me?
I didn't know it was a competition. Beg pardon, m'lady.
No. No, 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 you're quite right. I didn't really mean that. It's so hard not to think about oneself. Relate everything to oneself. I'm glad you think your wife is like me. In looks, do you mean?
Well, yes, but in my experience, people who look alike generally are alike. Making allowances for upbringing, of course.
Well, she's lucky to have you. Every woman is happier with a husband.
And is every husband happy with a wife?
I can't tell you that. I hope you are.
Oh, yes, my lady. I couldn't carry on without her. She makes all the difference.
What difference?
What difference does a wife make? Good question. Well, they make a home, for one thing.
Yes, they can make a home. At least some can.
And they can break a home.
But yours makes a home for you.
She has her work cut out, with minding the children and answering the telephone.
How old are your children?
How old? Have you any children yourself, m'lady?
No, alas.
Let me see, the youngest only two, and a proper handful.
And the others?
The boy, he's the eldest, he's 11. And the second, she's a girl, she's 8. 2, 8, 11. Very good children they are. Small thanks to me.
I'm sure you're an excellent father. What are their names?
Ah, Donald, of course. And Patricia, that's the middle one. And Susan, that's the baby. Don and Pat and Susie, we call them. Yes, Don and Pat and Susie.
And what's your wife called?
Frances.
It's as close as he can get to Franklin.
How strange. That's one of my names. Though not the one I use, of course. Now I'm Lady Franklin.
Too strange. Too close.
I don't call her Frances, though. She wouldn't know who I was talking to.
What do you call her?
Chips.
And what does your wife... What does Frances call you?
Well, Stephen's my name. She calls me Steve.
What are you going to do with the boy?
Put him in the army. He won't be hanging around street corners at 11 at night in a duffel coat.
You don't like duffel coats.
I wouldn't be seen dead in one. And if Frances saw me wearing one, she'd tear me off a strip.
I don't like duffel coats either. We have that in common. I wonder what else we share, your wife and I.
By the time they reach the bottleneck of Rochester, Leadbitter has thought of quite a number of ways in which his wife reminds him of Lady Franklin. He instinctively divines the possibilities in his passenger and makes his ideal out of these, never dreaming what it might mean in the real world to conjure one woman up out of his idea of another.
Heavens! We're home. Just like a magic carpet. Like a centaur on wheels. It's been very nice.
She's forgotten his name.
Very enjoyable indeed.
That's all right, my lady. I'll send you an account.
How very kind of you, but...
Tips are so embarrassing. So mysterious at the best of times.
Don't forget to put your lunch on the account. And thank you for the Canterbury tale.
Clumsily, she pulls out one of the larger notes and pushes it into his palm with her small hand.
Here.
Thanks very much. I'll wash you into the house, if that's all right with you, my lady.
Leadbitter turns away and glances at the note crumpled in his grip. And he's not disappointed. He is, he feels, with deep satisfaction, onto a gold mine here.
When I was single, oh then, when I was single, oh then, when I was single, my money did jingle, I wish I was single again, again, I wish I was single again.
All things considered, a good day, but...
God, how that woman can talk.
That night, Leadbitter dreams a disturbing dream.
Stephen, supper's on the table. Not too tired to eat now, are you? Where have you been?
Ask me no questions and I'll tell you no lies.
You're always working too hard. Come on, Steve. I sent the children to bed.
You sent the children to bed?
Pat's still grizzling about a toothache.
Oh, the poor little devil.
I promised her some chocolates afterwards.
Chocolates?
Got them here. Have one. Go on. Too tired to lift your arm.
Poor Stevie. Here. Open. Nice. More. Here you are. And another. I never knew you had such a sweet tooth.
Leave some for our pet, then.
That you, Leadbitter? You took your time? Asleep?
No, sir, no. Just getting in
good from... Good show. Still got your cap on, then? Basil Staines here?
Yes, sir, I know.
Good chap. Look, we're stranded at the Lotus Club, self and lady. Come and drive us home, would you? There's a good fellow. Make it worth your while, of course.
Leaving the tumbled sheets he won't be in again till 4 or 5 o'clock, he runs his tongue around his mouth and tastes the sweetness of chocolate. Cathedrals, country houses, beauty spots, Lady Franklin, always sitting beside him, is a passionate and indefatigable sightseer. On a showery day in March, he and Lady Franklin are motoring back from Chichester. Hearing the latest installments of the Leadbitter family saga soothes her, as others are soothed by the 1001 tales of Ambridge, or Mrs. Dale's diary. She finds it all pleasantly distracting on the outward journey. On the return, however, she is usually depressed and quiet. This particular day, Leadbitter uses the piece to formulate one of his less innocent confections. Today's is to be a masterstroke, a coup de guerre. He's always inspired beside Lady Franklin.
How was the cathedral?
Ooh. What did you do?
Well, I went down to the harbour. I drank coffee for a bit and watched the waves.
That sounds very peaceful.
We used to go to Ramsgate quite a bit when I was a kid. When something really gets my goat, or I don't want to hear what people are saying, I think about a sunny day in Ramsgate.
Is that where you and Francis take the children?
We do when we can. It won't be happening for a bit, though. Days off, trips to the seaside, or anywhere. I've had some bad news since last time we went out, my lady.
Bad news? Bad news? Did you say you'd had bad news?
I'm afraid so, my lady.
Oh, dear. Is there anything I can do? Anything to help?
Oh, no, my lady. I ought really to have mentioned it.
Has it anything to do with your wife?
Well, it affects all of us.
The whole family. The children, too. Well, please tell me when you feel you can. And if I can't do anything to help, I can at least say how sorry I am. Perhaps you'll tell me the next time we go out.
I'm afraid not, my lady.
Why not?
Because there won't be a next time.
What? Why?
Because I shan't have the car. I only have it on the HP, you see. Now they want it back.
The HP?
The glad and sorry. Well, I'm sorry now. I set up my own business, you see. And to do that, you have to take a gamble and borrow for a hire purchase company. A nice name for sharks in deep water. They sell you a car on monthly payments, with a load of interest added on to pay for the pleasure. And you get to try your hand at making your own profit. I was doing pretty well, too, thanks to clients like you, my lady, and keeping up the payments fair and square. But now the firm I bought it from is in Queer Street and wants me to pay it all off at once, or they'll take the car back and keep the money I've paid so far.
But they can't legally do such a thing, can they?
They can't, of course, but Leadbitter takes a gamble.
Oh, they can do anything they like, my lady.
But that's terrible. What will you do?
I'll have to go back to driving for a bigger firm if they'll let me in. They don't like you when you've been your own man, you see.
But this is just dreadful.
My wife won't say I told you so, my lady. She'll stand by me. But she never wanted me to take the plunge in the first place. We shall have to move back to our old street. She'll hate that. People gossip, you see. Look, I can see I'm upsetting you, my lady, and I'm sorry, but I thought I should explain why. Next time you go out, it won't be in this old banger with me. I wouldn't want you to think I'd let you down without having to, my lady. When you get used to somebody...
May I give you something? Would you accept a present from me?
Well, I'd be a fool, madam, if I didn't.
I've no idea how much would be of any use. £10? £50? £100?
Well, £100 would certainly be a help.
No, no, of course. Oh, I'm so stupid with these things. What good would £100 be if you're losing your car and house and... Oh, may we stop?
Leadbitter, quiet and still as stone, stares far away and waits while the engine runs on. Lady Franklin's disturbance is a profound one. Around her contested soul gather not the holy angels, but the Franklin family, solicitors and trustees, and even Simmons, her butler, who all think her a young fool. It is herself she's fighting for, her right to be herself. Then all at once, she feels as if she's looking down from above through other eyes. Calmly, she pulls out a checkbook and pen.
To whom shall I make it out?
She has forgotten his name. He catches a sneer on his own lip in the mirror and quells it before he turns to smile gently down at her. How pretty she looks, flushed and alive.
Were you going to write a cheque, my lady?
Well, yes, to you.
Well, the name is Leadbitter.
Oh, yes, of course. I meant your initial.
S.
And what does S stand for?
Stephen, you asked once before, my lady, and I told you.
Here, with my best wishes.
Thank you very much, my lady.
Aren't you going to look?
Well, if you insist, my lady.
You look as if you've seen a ghost. I hope it's a nice one.
I wouldn't mind seeing another one like it.
Oh, this has made me so happy. Everything's changed. You can't imagine, Stephen, what you've given me. I'm so happy. Thank you. Thank you.
The same evening, Leadbitter rings up the innocent agency to which he was paying the installments for his car, and to their amazement, buys it outright. Now everything has changed. But just how much, he cannot begin to imagine.
Good morning, Leadbitter's Motors. May I be of assistance?
Leadbitter?
No, sir. Do you require to speak to Mr. Leadbitter, sir?
No, gosh, no.
Maybe I can help you. Do you wish to make a booking for the car, sir?
Name's Cantrip. You'll have my address and number. Leadbitter's driven me a bit when I've had the loose change, you know. You are?
The secretary. Yes, I see your entry in our book, sir.
Glad to hear he's flourishing. Look, can he pick me up tomorrow around 7 at my address in Chelsea?
PM or AM, sir?
PM, of course. Good Lord.
May I ask where you might be going to and for how long you would need Mr. Leadbitter's services?
We're to pick a lady up on Campden Hill, then go on to Richmond for dinner. If he could wait, that'd be splendid. Say, 3 or 4 hours?
Certainly, Mr. Cantrip. That seems possible. I'll book you in. Thank you very much.
Part of overstanding, let's have a gander.
Here you are, Gov.
3 or 4 hours, eh? Cantrip must have robbed a bank.
Don't sound like your usual gentleman, I must say.
He's not a gentleman, that one. He's an artist. Any other bookings today?
2, yes. It's all jogging along nicely.
Any from Lady Franklin's, man?
Not taken one yet from a Lady Franklin, Mr. L. Is she a regular?
Darling. What an extravagant surprise, Huey. Have you secretly married a millionaireess?
Not yet, no. I expect it's only a matter of finding the right one for me.
And for me?
Quite. Thing is, I had a stroke of luck at that party you came to last week, Connie.
If you call me that, I will call you Hugh.
Leadbitter takes less delight in owning his car than he expected. Mostly, he longs to have a pane of chauffeur's glass between himself and the irritations of the back seat.
I've had a stroke of luck.
What sort of stroke?
A commission, actually. With a big fat check up front. And you needn't look so shocked. Just because you think my portraits are awful doesn't mean the whole world agrees, you know, Constance. Turns out someone at the party was impressed with my talent.
Are you talking about the party Ernestine's friends threw to celebrate her return to life?
Yeah, I am. Her return seems to have been fortuitous for me, anyway.
Don't tell me Ernestine's employed you. Don't tell me she asked you to paint her.
And why not? Well, no, she didn't.
I thought not.
Well, I got tired of asking you if I could paint your portrait, you know. I gave up.
Ah, yes. But think of all the other things I let you do with me, Huey.
What do you do,
especially
don't you?
If I won't have to lend you the money to do it for a while.
What do you think of her?
Ernestine?
Hmm.
She never seems quite real to me. Well, your upper class never do. They're like one's appendix, anachronistic, and pretty, well, useless. Not your type, I'd say.
You think I'm pretty useless?
But in quite a different way, and not, my dear boy, useless to me.
Yeah, as an artist, though.
Oh, you were so delicious when you sulked.
No, why couldn't you even pretend to like my painting, if you're so fond of me?
Because, sweet sulky boy, I can lie about everything, except art. Who are you painting for her, anyway?
Her husband.
Ugh, ghoulish.
From a photograph.
Photograph? Good heavens, Huey, how can even you sink so low?
Sickert did.
Exactly. And we all know what Sickert got up to.
Do we? Anyhow, she gave me this commission, and I'm taking you to a very expensive restaurant on the advance.
It's marvelous, Huey, darling, and I congratulate you. Overpaid, in advance, and you can sit in your studio all day with an impeccably behaved and motionless subject.
Oh, no, she wants it painting in her house. In the room where the photograph was taken. Interesting concept, don't you think?
Again, ghoulish.
Oh, I'm to begin tomorrow. Oh, I hope she won't be annoying, though. She's a bit bubbly for a widow, but, you know, highly strung. Yeah, but in some ways, she's so unawakened, don't you think?
How do you know?
I'm not entirely stupid, you know, Constance. I see things. She behaves more like a puppy than a grown woman, to be honest.
Ah, the painter's eye. Maybe you can paint her dog, too.
Oh.
Does she have a dog? I bet she does. I bet it has virtually no legs and sleeps with her.
Are we nearly there, Leadbitter?
Sorry, sir. What did you say?
The Petersham. We nearly there?
About 5 minutes, Mr. Cantrip.
The Petersham? Marvellous. She must be paying you a fortune. Oh, clever boy. Huey, do you think our driver was dreaming?
Is that Mr. Leadbitter?
Leadbitter speaking.
Oh, Mr. Leadbitter. This is Lady Franklin.
Of course it is. Good morning, my lady. Nice to hear you.
And very nice to hear you. I was afraid you'd think I'd forgotten you. Not that I flatter myself you'd regard that as a great disaster, because I know your customers are falling over each other. But all the same, I shouldn't like you to think I'd forgotten all the pleasant times we'd had together. And they were pleasant times, weren't they? At least I know they did me so much good.
Very glad to hear it, my lady. Though there wasn't much wrong with you before, not that I could see.
Ah, but there was. There was. But never mind that for now. Two things. First, how are the family? It's so long since I had news of them.
Fine, my lady, fine. How could they not be fine after what you did for them? For me?
Oh, that's nothing. I want to hear all about them. Which brings me to my second question. Can you take me out again tomorrow week? That's a Thursday. I want to go to Winchester. It's the only cathedral left within reach we didn't visit. I know you don't care very much for cathedrals, but...
Just let me look, my lady.
You'll be delighted to hear it's to count my blessings and give thanks this time instead of... Well, instead of... I can't quite recall what.
Thursday should be possible, my lady. What time?
Oh, I'm so glad. Could you please come at 10 o'clock? I get up early now. That's another thing you've done for me. You see, I owe you all my virtues as well as my happiness.
Happy to be of service, my lady.
10 o'clock, Thursday week, then.
Good to hear your voice. I hope your butler's quite well, is he?
Quite well. Thank you, Leadbitter. He's taking a morning off. I must fly. Goodbye for now.
Shame. Thought the old crow might have dropped off his perch.
Who's that, Mr. L?
Lady Franklin's butler. He usually books. I'd like to read him his horoscope one day.
The lady called in person, did she? You sounded very chummy, the two of you.
Never mix business with pleasure, Standing. It's never worth it.
Are you saying you never do?
Well, I'm saying sometimes I play along just to test out my gunnery defences, as it were.
Shark-infested waters for a man in your delicate position, eh?
I don't mind. I can handle myself. Nothing that could happen would surprise me, but you're not wrong. The worst outcome's losing a customer. I'd rather have the man's money than his wife, any day.
Best watch out none of them fall in love with you, Gov. You're a pretty good catch with this car business. And a sitting duck.
Oh, watch them, Bert. Type my first pickup.
Is she in love with him? She did sound happy to hear him. And he? He tries to examine his own heart. He should plan for Thursday week, but his usual soldier's clarity in a volatile situation fails him. He finds himself split in two between storming the enemy position and letting it alone. And so it is, a week later, he rides into battle, dangerously weakened by lack of planning for the first time in his adult life.
Isn't it 3 weeks? 3 weeks since you took me out?
3 weeks and 2 days, my lady.
How nice of you to have counted the days. Oh, they've been such busy days for me, as I'm sure they have for you. Although, of course, you will have been busy in the true sense of the word, working, while I have been busy, playing, I suppose. But yes, my days have been full, and so very happy, and so very tiring. I sleep like a baby at night. You must too, with all the hours you spend driving and waiting. Do you sleep well at night, Leadbitter?
When the phone doesn't ring, I do.
Oh, yes. Well, it's quite gone to my head, seeing all my friends again, and finding them still fond of me. And making new friends, of course, who also seem able to make quite a fuss of me.
I'm very glad to hear it.
And I had to ask myself why I'd hurt them by shutting them out for so long. I was getting used to my unhappiness, you see. So that it was my comfort blanket, and I never wanted to let it go. It was so easy to live protected and muffled and never having to act at all. I'm lazy, you see. I don't suppose you've ever been lazy.
I can't afford it, my lady.
Oh, yes. Money makes everything easy, I know. Too easy. There was nothing I wanted to do but stay in a sort of labyrinth. It seemed very empty and quiet, and easy to stay there and sleep till I died. But you showed me the way out, and I can never, never tell you how grateful I am.
That's all right, my lady.
Yes, but it isn't. I want there to be something just as important I can do for you.
You've done a great deal for me. I shouldn't be sitting here if it wasn't for you. I shouldn't be owning, that is, I shouldn't be my own master if it wasn't for you. And we wouldn't be here, with me able to drive you on another pilgrimage.
I gave you money, that's easy. You gave me happiness. That isn't easy. How can you compare the two?
You saved me from unhappiness. Isn't that as good?
Well, perhaps it is. I shall try to think it is. Yes, I shall. Oh, this is nice. You know, I've missed you very much these last 3 weeks. 3 weeks and 2 days, that is.
Miss me?
You sound so surprised. But people must miss you all the time.
Who?
Francis.
My wife?
Yes, Francis. And Don and Pat and little Susie. They must miss you all the time. You're hardly ever at home, thanks to people like me needing you. And now, please tell me all about them. Tell me everything. I just can't wait to hear another Canterbury tale. I'm dying of news starvation.
My wife?
Yes, Francis. I suppose the time in between has all been real for you, and I only remember what was happening 3 weeks ago. You'll have forgotten where we were, but I can tell you exactly where you left off. Things were just getting easier when Susie got the chicken pox, and Francis was worried the others might get it, though you said you had had it, so I wouldn't catch it from you.
That's right, I've had it.
Well, so, did they catch it?
No. No, they didn't. They just escaped.
How do you know they just escaped?
A missus is as good as a mile, anyway.
Well, it is. And so Frances is relieved and happy.
Oh, yes. She's as happy as a sandboy, Frances. Chattering all the time, going out, meeting friends, parties, buying new things. Very happy is Frances.
Don't you want her to be happy? Has something gone wrong? What? Surely she's pleased about the money.
Well, I had to tell her I won it on the pools, and to be frank, she was a bit annoyed I'd gambled at all. But relieved, of course, that we were saved. And I had to promise to my mother's grave I wouldn't bet again, which is a safe bet since I never did it in the first place, and never have.
But I don't understand why you had to lie to her. Surely you never lie to her.
I don't like to lie to her, of course, but sometimes just for the sake of peace and quiet and to see her happy without a shadow on her face, I do.
But why?
Because she's the jealous sort. She'd be jealous of you.
At last, his passenger is speechless. Terrified, she might reveal her deepest astonishment, not to say her urge to laugh, that Mrs. Leadbitter, the chauffeur's wife, might have any cause to be jealous of Lady Franklin. It would humiliate and wound this proud, innocent man. She glances shyly at him, a gesture Leadbitter, of course, entirely misreads.
I see. Well, I haven't thought of that. As usual, I'm all wrapped up in me and forgetting about the feelings of others.
I don't think that's true.
My money hasn't made happiness in your life after all, you see. I'm so sorry.
I wouldn't be without it. Don't think I'd be without it. It's just that even when I'm down, she's still happy and going out and making friends. So I suppose your money makes her independent of me in a way I'm not used to. And she doesn't seem to notice how down that makes me.
Lady Franklin misses the parable intended for her entirely, but sees his frown and is conscience-stricken.
Happiness does make people selfish, I suppose, but so too does sorrow. Wasn't I selfish when I first met you?
I wouldn't say that. You were a bit shut up in yourself, like we all are at times, and I...
Go on.
I tried to help you out.
You did. And now I am out. Don't you like me better?
There's nothing I can do for you anymore, my lady. It isn't the same.
Well, that's only true in a way. Surely it's just that things change. Perhaps we can be more like friends now. And I can't think of not hearing regularly about your family. It's a great joy to me, you know. It binds us together. So let's talk about that now and cheer ourselves up.
Where was I?
Escaping chickenpox and Frances being a little more social than we'd like.
Oh, yes. Well, after that, I suppose we had to give Susie a treat.
But the threads are slack and the story drags, and Lady Franklin, eager to nod and prompt, is secretly a little bored. So that by the time they get to Winchester, her double guilt requires her to tell a lie of her own.
Now this time, please, you really must come with me into the cathedral. I insist on it. I shall feel quite hurt if you don't. Why, I've never seen you without your cap before. I shouldn't have recognised you. You look quite different, you know.
Do I, my lady?
He fixes on her his riot-quelling eyes. Then, with a burst of confidence, he smiles, like a wave breaking.
I've worn a peak cap nearly all my life, one way and another. As I was going to be with you, I thought I'd better...
be in mufti. Well, I must say, it suits you very well. It's a shame to cover such nice hair. Shall we look around?
Certainly, my lady. Anywhere you say.
Well, let's see. This is the nave. It's very long. The longest nave in England, I think. The whole cathedral is the longest. That I do know.
Well, it does look pretty long, my lady. I'll give it a couple of hundred yards at least, judging by a running track.
How clever of you to know.
Well, it's a guess. I could tell you the exact length.
How?
By stepping it. Shall I?
Do. I'll just sit a while with my thoughts. Philip, I don't imagine you're there, but if you are, I do hope you're not minding it all. That I'm happy, beginning to be happy with someone else so soon. He's a very sweet and talented and insistent young man. An artist. And he takes me out of myself. You never cared much for living artists, I know. But I've been feeling so alone. And now I feel joyful.
180 yards, I make it, m'lady.
Not bad, considering these old monks had none of the facilities we have.
Yes, well, I'm done here anyway. Let's look at the transepts. These pillars are wonderful. See how different they are from each other? Like and unlike. Somehow coming together in one building, in one great idea.
I can see they're different. Don't you think they were trying to make them all the same and didn't know how?
No, oh no. Anyone can copy. They like the feeling of difference. I like people to be different from me, don't you? As long as there's a certain basis of liking, of course. That's chemical, I'm told.
Anyone might have a liking for anyone.
Of course.
And doesn't class make a difference?
Ask me no questions, and I'll tell you no lies.
Oh, dear, no. It adds richness to life, I think, or used to. I've never known what people mean when they... Well, I've always had the happiest relationships with my... I've never felt a barrier between us. Stephen. And I hope you haven't either.
Can't say I have, my lady.
Then you don't mind me calling you by your Christian name just then?
No. Only.
What?
Not unless you'd rather call me Steve.
Steve. Steve.
Yes, my lady.
Oh, nothing. I mean, it's such a nice name.
Sounds nice when you say it.
But this time, she no longer needs to fight a crowd of ghosts to be herself. This time, the Franklins and Simmons are butler, and all her friends and advisers are with her. She knows she won't, can't, say Steve ever again. Leadbitter, who does not guess this for a second, leaves the cathedral side by side with her and sits with her in the car, side by side, in ecstatic silence, listening for his name on her lips.
What's been on my mind when I started all this, which must have been very boring for you, was that my happiness, which I can't compare to a cathedral or even the smallest parish church, but it still means a lot to me, is something I couldn't have found by myself. It's been the result of a combined effort. I owe it to you. I was locked up till you came along, and now the door is open, and I'm free. And it can't have been easy for you, keeping patience with me. You've been through so much more than I have, and come through without anyone's help but your family's.
Suppose I'm pretty tough.
Yes. Yes, that's what I like. And somehow you passed some of that toughness onto me. You and your life became so real to me, because it is. You can't know about loneliness, but...
I do feel lonely, sometimes. I do feel lonely.
In spite of your busy life, Francis, and your family all around you, growing up...
Yes.
How... When? When do you feel lonely?
I feel lonely when you're not there.
Oh, well, that's so kind of you. Of course, I'm glad you like me enough to miss me, but...
I miss you when you are not there.
From grazing contentedly through her thoughts, Lady Franklin finds herself doubling like a hunted hare, with the hound suddenly closing, almost without her having noticed its existence.
Oh, but I'm sorry, too, of course, glad, and sorry that you miss me. Oh, what do I mean? We've been together a lot, haven't we? I know your wife...
Forget her.
And your family...
Forget them, they don't exist. They're all ballyhoo.
But they do exist, and you mustn't...
They don't exist. But you do, and I do.
I'm sorry if there are problems at home. So sorry... I said before, if I can do anything for you in return...
You can. You can.
Leadbitter knows very much more about the language and skills of passion than he does about art appreciation. And this is the heart of it, that though she is shocked, He can make the shock delicious and make that sweetness shocking. Mm. Shock and pleasure make of them a single creature for nearly 1.5 minute, a lifetime of divine union, and then...
I must get out!
Oh.
I must get out! Please, let me out, Leadbitter.
The surname is the blow that wakes him from bliss to a deadly sickness.
But you can't get out of here, my lady. We're still 10 miles from London.
It doesn't matter. I can walk. Someone will help me. Give me a lift.
Well, at least let me take you to a taxi.
No, thank you. I'll find my own way back.
Lady Franklin, is there nothing I can do?
Nothing. Except I must get out. Thank you. That will be all.
My lady.
My bag.
Oh, here, my lady. And your pocket guide to Winchester Cathedral.
Thank you.
Are you sure I can't take you somewhere?
No, thank you. I shall be quite all right.
Bitch. Blood. Bitch. Bitches.
Cut yourself with your own tongue, you will one day. You and your precious punters.
Come out of the water, Stevie. What's the matter with you anyway?
Thank you, that will be all.
The whole breed. Bitches.
In episode 1 of The Hireling by L.P. Hartley, dramatised for radio by Judith Adams, Stephen Leadbitter was played by Simon Day and Lady Franklin by Lisa Dillon. Huey was Joseph Milson, Constance Ursula Burton, Clarice Nicola Duffett, Simmons Anthony Gleave, Standing Kevin James, and Leadbitter's mother Jane Purcell. The narrator was Kenneth Cranham. The Hireling was directed by Chris Wallace and is an Autolycus production for BBC Radio 4.
And that kiss has extraordinary repercussions, and not the ones Leadbitter fears most, in the final part of The Hireling next week at the same time. After the news, an hour of literary delights, open book followed by poetry, please.
Books on the BBC.
He knew his baby had both a boy's and girl's identity. And he knew a decision had to be made. And he refused to imagine the harm in store for a child who was neither a son nor a daughter, but both.
Annabelle, on BBC Radio 4, tomorrow morning at 10:45, and again in the evening at 7:45.